Chalmers and I have been talking about the human conquest of space. It's just been so much fun talking to Paul about this. He knows everything and more. And to this point, we've looked at the current commercial race, as well as scientific exploration. And also, we've touched on some political ramifications and even talked a little bit about what kind of response we might have when we discover life elsewhere, whether it's tiny microorganisms or intelligent life. So, Paul, you're working in Washington, D.C. every day. You're bringing the House, Senate, White House up to speed on issues surrounding spaceflight, quantum computing. You know, what I haven't asked you, based on you being a Washington insider, is what concerns you the most about spaceflight right now?
Well, thank you. I think that the thing that concerns me the most is that we will not, that we'll try to fight China on China's terms, and try to compete with China on China's terms, rather than competing with China on our terms. And what I mean by that is, China is able to make significant investments, is able to architect a grand strategy across the decades, because it's an authoritarian government with deep reach into its own economy. And the temptation is for us to try and come up with our own strategy and have it be top-down and government-driven, rather than throwing open the doors to the commercial world, to academics, to the entire society, and really allowing our free society to flourish, to that flourishing into space. That's how we win, is to do that and to have confidence in our system, to have confidence in the combination of liberty and economic incentive to really do amazing things on our behalf. And so I'm hopeful that we can find ways to make the right kinds of investments, but also to take advantage of what the private sector and what just ordinary Americans are getting ready to do in space.
So what's gotten us to this point, which is to have the lead in space, you know, it might be a short lead, but we've had the lead for a while. We went to the moon and then we sort of dropped the lead. Now we still have the lead. But what's led us to this particular point in time, to your point, is free market economics and the liberties that we allow businesses and individuals to pursue. So why would we change strategies? I mean, what would cause us to try to emulate China's strategy?
Well, I think everybody wants to look like the big threat. And so there's a lot of interest in figuring out what China is doing right and doing that too, and that's a trap. It was a trap when we tried to do that with Japan in the 1980s. It's been a trap every time we've been tempted to do that. There was a time, obviously, at the beginning of the space race when it looked like Russia, when it looked like the Soviet Union had the right idea. And I think what we need to do is, again, have faith that our special sauce, if you will, the combination of free enterprise and a holistic Republican form of government, small R Republican, is able to compete well against these other forms of organizing ourselves.
Along those lines, what kind of policies do we need to help the commercial industry right now?
I think we need to help the commercial industry scale. Right now, we are in the sort of mid-double-digit launches per year. And when you think about where we were in terms of air travel before the pandemic hit, you know, where we'd see thousands and thousands and thousands of flights per day, there's a lot of room for growth in the space launch industry.
So we don't have enough activity.
No, I mean, and it's going to grow organically. But what we need to do is make sure that the regulatory processes can scale. So, for example, we're starting to move from a situation where every single launch is its own regulatory process to one where we can do batches of launches. If you're going to launch 12 times and they all look the same, why don't you just go through the process once? That's the kind of thing we want to be able to do, so that it's not such a pain to get to space.
Right. So we need some normalization. We need to start putting things into repeatable processes that
right.
can handle volume. It sounds like what you're talking about right. is you want repeatable right. processes that can handle volume. If you're going to do the same thing, it doesn't matter if it's a year apart, 5 years apart. If it's the same thing, it's the same thing. Let's just have one process for it, get it approved, and you do it.
Innovations like reusable rockets enabled us to scale the launch so that we could do it faster and more often. And now we need to scale the regulatory process similarly. And we're making headway on that front.
Who's working on that?
And that's the FAA and their Office of Commercial Space Transportation.
Mm-hmm. And so the FAA is working with the commercial sector to sort of pave the way to normalize some of these processes. It's going to be particularly important as we start to normalize supply chain operations. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what else? Is there anything else that you feel really needs to be done to keep the U.S. ahead of other nations that might have other ideas about how to carve up space?
I think the federal government needs to be a good customer. And that means being able to purchase what it wants from commercial companies, like launches to the International Space Station, like future platforms that will take over from the International Space Station once the station reaches the end of its rated life. And so being able to be a customer and be a customer that is easy to deal with is a very helpful thing.
Hey, that's a pretty tall order. You're asking the federal government to be an easy customer. Since when? Since when in time has that happened? Never.
Well, the Defense Department has gotten somewhat better at it over the years, but it's not easy. And I know it's a tall order that I'm asking.
Yeah, it is a tall order. Anything else that we could do to make sure that we get to the moon and Mars first? And we get to make the rules on behalf of all humankind as opposed to the people who have our passports?
Well, I would say so that we can make the rules in collaboration with the rest of humankind, which is how the Artemis Accords developed, is that we convened our allies and we all agreed to rules that were all mutually bound by. And that's, I think, the way to go. I would say that the final thing to do is these are plans that take a long time. Missions like the Artemis mission to go back to the moon take a long time to execute. And so we need continuity across Congresses. We need continuity across presidential administrations. And it's been really heartening to see that the Biden administration has stayed the course on the Artemis program, for example, which was a program initiated under the Trump administration.
Yes, that has been one wonderful thing. And you know what? If I was going to leave the program on a high note, it would be that we did not have a president and new administration, a Democratic administration, come in and undo everything related to the Artemis Accords, the Artemis mission, didn't undo all of that just because Trump's name was and administration was associated with that. That should make everybody feel good, no matter what team you play for.
I think so. And it's not a partisan point either. I mean, I would be the same if it were a Republican president coming
That's
in
right.
after a Democratic president, as long as it was with Nixon and Kennedy, Nixon, Johnson and Kennedy. It's important that we be able to maintain that consistency. And that requires that our leaders be somewhat humble about not necessarily having their very own space program, but continuing the previous leadership space program.
Well, that's why we have you. That's why we have you, Mr. Stymers, in Washington.
No, folks.
If you don't know what Paul Stymers does, look him up, because thanks to him, we do have some continuity, and I want to give credit where credit is due.
Well,
we are just about out of time.
I'm not going to let you.
I'm not going to let you go humble on me. We're just about out of time, so let me thank you, Paul, for a great conversation about the human conquest of space, and I can't wait to continue our conversation in a future episode. Next week, former ABC News producer Tony Seaton is going to be co-hosting the program with me for decades, Seton has had a front row seat observing how network news bureaus have changed. And so we're going to take a deep dive into why some news stories get buried and others get just replayed to death. We'll also be looking at the economic incentives for networks to cater to political ideologies, as well as what can be done to repair the damage that has been done to the media's credibility. And we can all admit, I don't care if you're a Republican, a Democrat, an independent, or none of the above, you know, no matter what you're doing, where you are, be sure to tune in to the next episode of the Costa Report when news veteran Tony Seton will be here to spill the beans on the mainstream media in a way that only an insider can. Until then, the search for the undiluted, unpackaged truth continues. Expect the best of yourself and others, and never, never pass up an opportunity to be reasonable. You're listening to the Costa Report.